everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio live here with Coaching with Carrie. I'm super excited to be bringing you tactic number 7, which is in the book Shift. And this is the coaching series I've been going through for the last few weeks now. And Shift is, of course, a New York Times bestseller. How top real estate agents tackle tough times is really the premise of this book, Shift. Gary Keller, Dave Jenks, Jay Papasan, and their team wrote this book. It's amazing for any market, any real estate agent, team, entrepreneur, whether you're starting in the business, you've been in it for 30 years, or anywhere in between. The reality is, as we all know, shifts happen. Seasonal shifts happen, market shifts happen, economic shifts happen, and they all can impact your business dramatically. And there are certain things that you can employ in your business today that will help you in any market. The best of best markets, well, then you're just going to do better than everybody else. And as the market changes and shifts, you're going to be positioned to make sure that you can survive and hopefully even thrive while some of the others might not even be able to survive in the shifting market. So it doesn't matter what the market's doing today. This information is extremely important. And if you go ahead and employ these tactics, you're going to be set in your business now and in the future. That just is plain the truth. And so we've gone through the first 6 tactics in the earlier parts of this coaching session of mine. And today, I'm going to move into tactic number 7. We're also going to, of course, then in the future, go all the way through until we get to tactic number 12. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of closing up this whole coaching series, The Shift. And then we'll move into something different, which I'm excited about as well. So today, let's jump right into tactic number 7, which is price ahead of the market, you guys. Seller pricing strategies are super important, right? The ability to learn faster than your competitors may be the only sustainable competitive advantage that you have. So let's talk about pricing ahead of the market, and you will benefit, so will your business, and so, of course, will your sellers. So as we all know, the moment the media declares a real estate shift, right, it's as if the market just got doused in a cold shower. The result is, of course, fearful buyers, pick your buyers, and eventually fewer buyers. We've talked about this in the past coaching sessions. When a shift happens, that's what happens to buyers. The remaining few buyers claim that if they can't get a good buy, then they'll just say goodbye for now, right? They just sit on the fence. The market will then cool off. Cautious consumers appear willing to let good deals die and great opportunities pass them by in hopes of getting a steal. And they start missing the forest for the trees, right? They're wary of paying too much, and then they, of course, go too far and begin to offer too little. And only properties that appear to be serious, serious bargains will get the attention. So sellers who are slow to recognize this shift will quickly become overpriced, and consequently, they will be overlooked. It's not rocket science, you guys, of course, but when the market shifts, first buyers and then sellers become overly guarded and set in motion another intriguing game, which is, you know, the price is right. In this version, instead of guessing there is no top, buyers now predict that there is no bottom, right? And so when previously they were aggressively pushing prices forward, now they're equally aggressive in trying to pull them back. And the truth is, the market remains full of people who genuinely want to buy and sell. That is the truth, you guys, in any market, even a shifting market. The question is, at what price are they willing to buy and sell? And the answer sorts both buyers and sellers into a range of categories from not interested to still motivated and everything in between. And this sorting now defines and shapes the marketplace. The desire to do business hasn't gone away, you guys, but the heat has gone out of the market. And so the motivated few are the ones that you are looking for and the ones that you truly can help. Expose and magnify the classic real estate price conflict that has always existed, right? And you guys are feeling it right now in any market you feel it. The asking price a seller wants versus the price a buyer is willing to pay has always existed, and it's a conflict that will always exist, but it's exasperated and magnified during a shift. To illustrate this conflict and how the market determines who has the upper hand, I want to share a quick story. So at the bar exam, 3 different would-be attorneys forget their pens. One asks a test proctor if he has an extra pen, and he does, but only one. The first attorney says, "I'll give you $1 for the pen." The second attorney chimes in, "I'll give you $2." Then the third says, "Hey, I'll give you 3. By the next time the bar exam is given, all attorneys know not to forget a pen, and all the test proctors have heard they should bring extras. This time, only one attorney forgets, and when he asks a proctor for a pen, the proctor answers, "Sure, I'll sell it to you for $3. Then another proctor jumps in and says, "I'll sell it to you for $2. But before the attorney can pull out his billfold, a third proctor offers, I'll sell you mine for just a dollar. And in a seller's market, the power of pricing favors the seller and buyers will compete for a limited supply. So a shift means this power is now in favor of the buyer and that sellers will compete to attract the limited supply of buyers, just like in the story, right? Our goal in representing a seller in a shift is to use pricing to empower them as much as possible. And it's not easy, you guys. So there's a window of opportunity. If someone is to buy their house, sellers must be aware of and buy into the concept of a window of opportunity. This phenomenon means that when a home first comes on the market, it attracts attention from those agents who are currently working with the motivated buyers or those agents who are motivated to price to go find one. If any agent or their buyer believes that a house is poorly priced, it loses its opportunity and doesn't draw their attention. So basically, it gets written off right from the beginning. Once this happens, it is not easy to get those agents or buyers back, even with a series of price reductions or home improvements. First impressions are the original pictures framed in the mind and heart. They are usually lasting ones, and when memories and opinions get set, they are typically tough to change. That is the bottom line. The first time someone sees a property is called the window of opportunity because it's the single best chance to create the impression that will sell the house. So it's the best marketing message a seller can send. We're priced right and serious to sell. And if a property isn't appropriately priced for the market from the onset, well, a seller will likely miss the important first opportunity, which is, again, their window of opportunity. Your job is to get them to grasp why pricing it right must happen right now. They only get one chance to make a good first impression, right? Making the wrong impression will cost the seller time and money. Pricing houses for a successful sale is never as simple as someone might think. Continually changing market conditions and circumstances can make pricing a skill as well as a science. We all know that. The research, the analysis, and the judgment that goes into competitive pricing are not readily evident to most agents' listing presentations, and truthfully, some real estate agents don't actually approach it with the thoroughness it truly deserves. So a market shift absolutely underscores the importance of pricing and exposes cavalier agents who don't give it researched attention and serious thought. The most successful agents become masters of pricing and they become masterful in getting their sellers to trust the findings and act on them. Buyers are always, always looking for value, right? Regardless of the market, they want the best property available at the lowest price, period. A shift doesn't change this. It actually accentuates it, though. So this happens because of what a shift does change, the direction and the speed at which a buyer thinks prices are going. And as an agent, you know this. So you not only advise your sellers on what their home will likely sell for, but also the general pricing of the market. You are making an observation and you are making a forecast. And the observation is the science, and the forecast, well, it's a skill. Observation of current pricing is a science that requires a thorough, rational, fact-based analysis. And forecasting is an acquired skill, an inexact ability to predict market direction and speed. The information to do this is there and available, but someone must put in the time and the effort to uncover it, to interpret it, to learn from it, and ultimately to use it. And that's you. And this is how you can set yourself apart from your competition in any market. And this is the kind of stuff you should be talking to sellers about when you are in listing presentations. So here we move to the art of pricing persuasion, right? A seller not only needs you to master the science and skill of pricing, like I just mentioned, but also the art of persuasion. In a shift, most sellers are actually triers, quote unquote, who never become sold. The market becomes oversaturated with unsuccessful wannabes who didn't get the formula of direction and speed correct. And if they are to become true sellers, then they're going to need some competent professional guidance to price their houses to sell in the desired time frame. So for sellers in a shift, the need for an agent who has mastered the science, the skill, and the art of pricing becomes critical. The essence of the pricing science, of course, is identifying the right comparable properties. Like we talked about, the right comps make the analysis more accurate, right? And a seller's acceptance more likely. So what makes a property comparable? Well, there are four main factors: location, size, amenities, and condition. And then you must factor in when it sold or went pending. You might also use properties currently on the market to get a sense of the current competition. Whether you use recent pendings and sold or active listings and expired, you are attempting to assess the price range in which a home will sell. In the final analysis, all else being equal, and that's what you've done in your selecting your comps, right? The price impacts marketability and ultimately saleability. That's what all motivated sellers must understand and their agent must persuade them about. You need to persuade them about this, you guys. In addition to their home's immediate value, sellers are also challenged to come to terms with another reality of the marketplace, the direction and the speed at which the market is moving. This is determined by studying the area economy, grasping the motivations of available buyers, and reconciling this with listed, pending, and sold data from the market. Patterns will emerge and require interpretation by you. Sometimes they're obvious and sometimes they're not, so just be wary of that. Either way, sellers need to know. They need to understand the full extent of the market trends and the implications for pricing. The direction in which a market is going and the speed at which it's moving will determine pricing strategies. Properties that are appropriately priced for the market will always make the best impression. They'll be the first shown, the most talked about, the first to receive offers, and most likely to sell. But if the price doesn't match the direction of the market, then buyers will just merely move on and never even give it a second thought. Since they won't even look at it, they'll never get to experience the property's real appeal. The best way to truly serve a seller in a shift is to weigh them to outthink the other sellers they must compete against. So when the buyer pulls back, successful sellers must persuade to step out in front, and they must price ahead of the market. You do not want to be chasing the market. Let the market chase you, and that's what you need to be persuading your sellers about. Statistically speaking, sellers will find themselves facing one of three real estate markets, either a buyer's market, a seller's market, or a balanced market, right? And as they're confronted with each market, they'll discover they have three pricing strategies from which to choose. They either price at the market, behind the market, or ahead of the market. It's that simple. In practice, only the buyer and seller markets are considered when choosing a pricing strategy. The reason a balanced market is taken off the table is because that transitional period between a buyer's and a seller's market is truly short-lived, right? Transitional markets are usually fleeting. As such, markets usually move in one direction or the other with little to no pause in between. It's why you hear people say, we're in a buyer's market or we're in a seller's market, but virtually never hear them say, we're in a balanced market. This is important to grasp because it is this thinking that drives pricing strategy directions and decisions. So, not chasing the market means pricing your listings ahead of it. When a house isn't priced ahead of the market, it's essentially behind the opportunity curve. That's just the bottom line. You're either ahead or behind. The opportunity to get the best possible price is what you're looking for. And this may seem paradoxical, but it is actually the foundational principle of successful pricing in a shift. Successful pricing means getting the maximum price for a house in that market, but the strategies can differ based upon the direction of the market. Sellers must first decide if they really need to or want to sell, right? This is their decision to make. Only they decide to sell. Our job as agents is to show them how to make it happen. Once they see how the market really works, they can then decide what they want to do. As soon as a market price has been established, the question every seller must then answer is, what should my asking price be, right? And this is a strategic question, not a value question. What a house is worth is the answer to a value question, but what the house will sell for is the answer to a sales price question. They are clearly different questions, if you understand that, right? When a seller is ready to sell, there is only one thing they want to know. What is the best price their house will sell for right now? When sellers go to price their property, two things matter: where the market is now and the direction it's going. And that is why they must be strategic if they want to get the best price in the right time. When a seller wants to sell and a property valuation has determined a price range for what the home might sell for at the time, a pricing strategy must now be chosen. Before a seller chooses a strategy, they must make a very important decision. Do they want to sell for the maximum price now, or they want to maximize the price possible? When asked this question literally, every seller immediately answers both, which means they have misunderstood the question. Getting the maximum price now or getting the maximum price possible presents two different choices in a seller's market. In a buyer's market, they are in fact the same. In other words, in a buyer's market, maximum price and minimum time are the same strategy. Successful pricing means getting the maximum price now for a house, but getting a maximum price now doesn't necessarily mean getting the maximum price possible. When home values are on the rise, sellers can clearly price their home to sell at its maximum price now. This is choosing at the market pricing, right? If they want to sell quicker, then they choose a behind the market pricing by offering a price below market, and this would mean they're strategically making less money in return for a faster sale, a trade-off only, of course, a seller can justify, but it's truly possible, and some of them do choose this. The seller also has the opportunity to anticipate where the market is going, and if time isn't an issue, see if they can maximize their financial opportunity, of course. If they have the time, this could mean holding off from selling for a while longer until the market prices rise enough to pay their price. While there is risk in this strategy, in that it is truly trying to time the market, and you never know what will happen there, it can work. They could also consider marketing it now at the future price, but unless it's an amazing property, it will simply fail the window of opportunity test and become shopped, right? And we've all seen that. In other words, the seller would run the risk of simply being another overpriced listing on the market, and a rising market can actually forgive a small overpricing on a highly desirable property, but never a big one. So that's just the bottom line. When home prices are falling, sellers are in a real bind, however, right? Pricing behind the market when prices are rising means sellers could be leaving money on the table for a quicker sale, but pricing behind the market when prices are falling means sellers just won't ever sell, period. In a declining market, selling now and maximizing the price turn out to require the exact same strategy. Buyers always want a great buy, but when they're shopping for a house in a clear buyer's market, they are in essence looking for an even greater buy, and they're looking for a bargain. And if everything is priced the same, then what goes through their mind is, where is the bottom? Buyers know they're in a shift, but if everything is priced alike, they get confused because it appears to them that sellers still want too much. This is a real dilemma, so they tend to become fence sitters. And you've all seen that as well. Value is a comparative concept. So when everything is priced the same, buyers become uncertain about where the value is. In a rising market, they have faith that the values are in their lowest and that they don't fear current prices. But in a falling market, they have no faith in current prices and they fear paying too much. As a result, they're looking for the lowest priced home as an indication of the best value. Sellers also have a dilemma because in a falling market, it usually means all sellers are going to have to take a price cut. The market price is getting ready to basically fall across the board, right? This is when anyone who wants to sell in a shift must become very strategic. Sellers have to realize that they must stand out now and get sold, or they'll be chasing the market all the way to the bottom. And if they price the market, they'll basically, in essence, always be overpriced for what the market will pay at that moment. Their only real choice, if they want to maximize their price and sell now, is to price ahead of the market. This means dropping their price below it. How far below it now becomes the critical question. All sellers naturally fear underselling their house, and rightfully so. However, in a shifting market, the greater risk is overpricing it. This happens by pricing it at the market, and this is where it gets a little confusing and tough for a seller to swallow. Unless they're underpricing it, they will end up underselling it. Time is not on their side. Buyers in a shift are shopping for a good deal. This means they're hunting for the lowest priced home. This means less than any of the other homes on the market. Sellers in a shift must outthink the other sellers, the triers, and by getting ahead of them, if a home isn't priced ahead of the market, it may well be priced out of the market. It's the same thing. Once sellers fall behind, they can end up chasing the market all the way down, and they lose the margin they would have gained by pricing it right in the first place. So basically, you're in a race against time. This is what you should tell every seller. The best price you'll get is the one you get now. If you wait, it will just be lower. Pricing at the market is really overpricing in a shift and simply too high a risk to take. Whether the market is on the way up or on the way down, sellers should always price to the market they're headed to. So the way to guide a seller to understanding the market is to basically probably show them some kind of visual, like a graph, and then talk them through each of the numbered points. It creates a logical analysis of the thinking behind your pricing recommendations, and it's a way for you to help them discover the facts, and that helps them overcome their fears or any misunderstandings. It is your way to empower them and give them the competitive advantage that they want, right? Here's the challenge. Research supports the fact that sellers and buyers are typically out of sync with the realities of the market. In a seller's market, sellers tend to dwell in the future and buyers in the past. Sellers want to push prices up. Buyers want to hold the line. In a buyer's market, buyers want to place themselves in the future and sellers want to dwell in the past. And buyers want to push prices down and sellers, of course, want to hold the line. The net result is a buyer and seller's perception is different, and it has nothing to do with really what a home is currently worth. That's really the challenge. Effective consultations about pricing can basically bridge that gap, but it's not easy. The challenge is that in a buyer's market, buyers usually make offers in anticipation of the market dropping. And this means that it's up to the real estate agent to pull the seller forward, not just to where the market is today, but to where it is likely going to be in a few weeks or even in a month or so. Given this reality and a shift, sellers need a knowledgeable agent more than ever, and specifically they need professional and really brutally honest pricing advice. This is where you can again stand apart from your competition, and it's truly what you owe your clients. In the end, it's a pay me now or pay me later proposition for both you and the seller. And if you can't get them to face the realities up front, you may find yourself back with them in a few weeks explaining why the home hasn't shown much, much less sold, and you're going to be talking price reductions, right? And I'm sure we've all been there. For the seller, they risk chasing the market and netting far, far less than they would have if they just priced it strategically from day one. So that's really going to be, you know, the most important thing that you understand. It's going to be really important for you as you move into a shifting market and you're working with sellers to present your data in the right way, to learn the appropriate scripts in your pricing presentation, you know, to be able to draw the graph, explain the dynamics of the price and the condition using the scripts. Those types of things are going to be extremely, extremely important for you. Because the most frustrating situation is when a seller lists their house behind the market, attracts the interested buyer who makes a below list price offer, and then the seller rejects it, right? You might have to remind the seller that they should treat every offer as if it will be the only offer they ever get. And this doesn't mean that they should accept a lowball offer, but it does mean they will have to do a reality check on how intent they are in selling. When they reject an offer, it's likely they are buying back the home at the price with the expectation that they can resell it and get what they want. And no one would ever buy a home this way. But sellers rebuy their own home every day and usually lose big in the process. By the way, that's a great script. So one of the authors of the book, Dave Jenks, illustrated this point by sharing a personal experience of his. In 1995, the market had shifted and sales were tough to come by when he put his home up for sale. He had listed it at $195,000, quickly got an offer for $180,000, and just flat out rejected it. As knowledgeable as he was, he still fell into the seller buys the home back trap, right? A year later, after 12 months of carrying costs, he said he had to accept an offer at $170,000 to get it sold and get out from underneath of it. He says he knows exactly what it's like to chase the market and didn't feel very smart or very happy with the outcome. So the bottom line, you guys, is tell people these stories. Show them. Illustrate to them, because they're not going to feel happy or smart when they ultimately sell it for $170,000 either, when they could have sold it earlier for $180,000. You just need to know how to talk to them about this. In a recent interview that Gary Keller did when he was writing this book with a top agent in Massachusetts, he asked how things were going in the local area. And the agent said, well, our market is really a tale of two markets. 80% of the homes are overpriced and 20% are well-priced. And the well-priced properties are getting multiple offers and the overpriced properties are getting none. And Gary realized immediately that in every market, in every time, there are two markets, one where properties are priced to sell and another where properties are priced to sit. A seller is either on the market, or they're either in the market or they're either out of it. I mean, those are the two things, right? There's no other in between. And unlike a seller's market, where time on the market can pull overpriced homes back into the market after a downshift, every day just pushes overpriced homes farther and farther out of the market. So based on this critical understanding, we recommend that a dialogue with a seller might go something like this. So this is you as the agent. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, just because a house is on the market doesn't mean it's in the market. Let me explain. In every market, there are actually two markets. There are properties that are priced well enough and in good condition to attract interested buyers. Those homes attract offers and they sell. Then there are homes that are overpriced or are in less than ideal condition that don't attract buyers and just sit on the market. So if you look at this graph, and you can draw a graph for them, and there's a graph on the in the book Shift on page 150. If you have a copy of the book, take a look at it. And then you say to them, so if you look at this graph, you can see that some houses are in the market, and, well, some are out of the market. Does this make sense? And then the seller's going to say, sure, I've seen the same thing on eBay or on Craigslist or on Zillow, or, you know, wherever they're seeing it. But on eBay, it's a good example, and people will say something like this. People who auction good stuff with a fair reserve price attract a lot of bidding, and others try to pawn something off with an unrealistic reserve, and they don't get any bids at all. People know that this is the reality, right? So your seller might say something like that or create an analogy. So you as the agent are going to say, great idea. That's the point. Buyers have a sense of what's a fair value and what's not, and they just won't show up if you're not in the ballpark. Now, when we're in a seller's market, we saw a lot of multiple offers, and it wasn't so much whether a home would sell, it was a question of how long it would take and how much it would sell for. And almost all the homes were in the market at that kind of in a seller's market, right? And then you would say, well, in a buyer's market like we're in today, many homes aren't really in the market at all. There's a lot of inventory, but there aren't as many buyers, and the buyers who are looking expect a great value, a good home at a good price. And with all the competition for their attention, they have a lot of choices. They start to become really picky. And then the seller is going to agree and say, yes, they understand. And then you as the agent say, and that's why it's very important for us to get your home in the best condition possible and then to price it correctly and competitively. Buyers are looking for value pricing, and if we don't meet those expectations, we'll look overpriced and we'll be overlooked. As you can see, and then there's another graph on page 152 of the book Shift. Show this graph if you'd like. The market of homes that are actually selling is small and competitive, and if we don't get in the market, we risk ending up out of the market with no showings and no offers, or worse, in no man's land, where we get enough interest to think we might be in the market, but no offers. We need to price ahead of the market. Let's make the market instead of chasing it. As your agent, I can't change the market conditions, but it is my job to show you how to get your house sold in the existing market conditions. So your seller might say something like, I wish I would have decided to sell earlier. It's kind of a bummer. We're in a buyer's market, et cetera. And you as the agent might say, the truth is that this actually may be a good time to sell and even a solid financial opportunity for your family. Yes, we may not be able to price the home as high as we could have last year, but if you don't sell now, you'll be selling for less in a year from now. And so then you talk to them about preparing your research on the prices of the other homes available in this area and neighborhoods like it, as well as some numbers that reflect what it is and isn't, what is and what isn't selling, right? You can put it another way, which is what is and isn't in the market instead of what is or what isn't selling. Sometimes that verbiage helps sellers. And you can let them know you've previewed a lot of those homes and basically you want to decide together how to best price their house to sell. So the reality is the tale of two markets, as we call this, is simple. It's a proven way to engage your sellers to the realities of effective pricing and staging. And remember, it's not about you. It's about the market. The current state of the market is the determining factor for pricing. You don't make the market. You simply show them how to get their home sold in the market. You are actually bringing them the solution and showing them how to help their own cause. And the charts and the dialogues that I just kind of gave you here and that are in the book Shift for you will give you the confidence to advise your sellers and the conviction to be strong in your approach. Truthfully, this is what they expect you to do as their fiduciary agent. To do less is to serve less than honorably in your role as a real estate professional. That is the bottom line. So the last question is to take or not to take an overpriced listing. Even the best research and most impassioned presentations can sometimes fall on deaf ears, right? We know that. If the seller insists on listing their home at too high of a price, what is the real estate agent to do? Well, in our experience, agents usually fall into two distinct schools of thought. Never take an overpriced listing or always take the listing no matter the price. And many insist that you should never take an overpriced listing. From their point of view, overpriced properties can be a liability in terms of time, money, and reputation. Listing a home takes hours, involves, you know, a lot of marketing expenses, and if it doesn't sell, it's your reputation that is eroding in their front yard. Agents who adopt this philosophy aim at ramping up their lead generation so they have so many listing opportunities that saying no to a listing doesn't feel like saying no to income. Still, this approach isn't for everyone. So others see listings as a marketing opportunity that shouldn't be ignored, right? And research from the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book that we have done a coaching session on that you can go back and listen to the recordings on absolutely supports that listings are a marketing opportunity that shouldn't be ignored. Many top agents reported that they could reasonably expect to net two buyers from a well-marketed home, and that's a real opportunity if it's done right. So many take the path of list all you can and market the best you can, and they view this approach as a market share and buyer opportunity equal to a potential listing selling. So each approach has its supporters. We have interviewed too many successful agents on either side of the argument to tell you which approach you should follow. Experience will show you what is the best strategy for you, because you ultimately will feel one way or the other. We do believe that regardless of which approach you choose, you fundamentally always want a motivated seller. If they're not truly motivated, time has shown that neither approach will work very well for you. So Lastly, you know, in Bob Barker's The Price is Right, right, there was an enduring phenomenon highlighted by his trademark call, which is, come on down. While that catchphrase might take on, you know, a meaning for home prices in a shifting market, there is something we can learn from the longest running game show ever. Everyone loves to be a pricing expert, but very few are. And the wisdom here is to be purposeful in your conversations with sellers, providing them with the necessary data and engaging them in the process of pricing their house to sell. Just like on the game show, only the ones who get the price right will ever win. So here's what you need to do. Be a student of your market. Know your numbers. Focus your main comps on actives. Pendings and solds may already be out of date in a shifting market, just so you know. Be a student of property. Preview them so you understand what is selling and why they're selling. Keep your presentation as current as possible. Let your ongoing research do the talking for you. Pre-qualify for motivation. Sellers who most need to sell sell most often. Price ahead of the market. Do not chase it like we mentioned before. And lastly, always secure price reductions in advance to avoid falling behind the market. If you have any questions, want more suggestions, want more help in regards to pricing strategies or anything we've talked about in this coaching series, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. You can find me right here on Blog Talk Radio and Coaching with Carrie on Facebook, Coaching with Carrie, Carrie H at KW.com. Tweet me at Carrie HKW. I would love to have more dialogue with you. I would love to hear your feedback on this. I would love for you to employ these tactics, you guys. If you do it, I promise you your business is going to increase in no matter the market. And I'm going to move into tactic number 8 next Friday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio Live again. And we're going to talk about standing out from all the competition, the staging strategies for sellers. Because once you get the pricing strategy right, you also have to have the seller staging strategies correct, or it's not going to work. These two go hand in hand. So I'm excited to talk to you about this next Friday at 11 a.m. live. In the meantime, contact me if you have any questions. Would love to have you back here next Friday. Thanks again, you guys. Make it a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.